Holy Father, we bless you so much for this time. I thank you so much for your word in our language. It's a blessing. I know we have so many different variety of translations to choose from, but I praise you that we have this. And I pray that we take advantage of it as a Bible church, so we continue to be in the word, and that my words come out of your words, that your thoughts are my thoughts, that you will energize them by your spirit and cause them to be finding fertile soil this morning, that they'll bear much fruit, fruit that will endure. We pray this all because Jesus is the resurrected one. In his name, amen. I've had a busy week. Anybody else have a busy week? I was probably the only one in the entire auditorium when Star Wars first came out. We went there. We stayed in line. You know, it was at the green one in Denver where the Godfather played, but Phoenix. But we got in there, and you know, we watched Star Wars, and of course I came out as Han Solo, and my friend was Chewbacca, and I had a Pontiac Catalina, and that was the Millennium Falcon. But it was fascinating because there's a scene in there where C-3PO is getting cleaned up by Luke, and he says, "Master, if you have no need for me, do you mind if I shut off?" No, go ahead. And I start laughing. I'm the only one in the entire audience laughing because I just told someone on the way there, I want to shut off. I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. I just want to be able to shut off. Have you ever felt that way? We just want to go, ugh. You feel like you're running out of gas, and that's what life is all about. You know, it's the power-filled person we talk about this morning. And if you run out of gas before, just like that, you just want to... Well, that's what it looks like. Your gas and your gauge goes down. I just put 15 gallons in my car. I think it holds 15.7. Never got that low before, but I was able to do that. And you wish you could do that through your own life. You know, you just kind of get the dipstick. Sorry, it's an Italian joke I won't tell. or you ran out of gas, you're cutting the lawn. Have you had that happen? Then you have to wait for the lawnmower to cool off to put gas in, otherwise you start a fire. Have you ever done that? Yeah. And then in prayer life, you felt like this too. Why am I praying? Nothing's getting answered anyway. Are you hearing me? You feel like there's this bucket on your head and your prayers get about that far, and all you hear is your own voice echoing back at you. And maybe you're out of gas there too. Just in life, your emotional tank is empty, your physical tank is empty, and your spiritual tank is draining. And I want to encourage, as we start this series in Power-Filled Living, that there is hope. We're going to learn from the Apostle Paul this morning that the power-filled prayer focuses on inner growth with outer fruit, and it basically preaches and prays the word. So if you have your outline, you can fill in those. These are already filled in, sorry. But if you have your Bibles, you can also turn to Colossians chapter 1, the only book that has that name. And we're going to be going from verses 3 to verse 14. Allow me to read the first few verses here, 3 through 8, in the New International 84 version. We always thank God for the Lord, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you. Am I echoing? Am I pinging? Bring me down just a bit, please. Sorry. I got it there? Is that better? Just a little ping, a little bit more? Okay, we're good there. I heard that. All right. Starting verse 3 again. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in the Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, the faith and the love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about the word of truth, the gospel, verse 6, that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and is growing just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. Verse 7, you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who has told us of your love in the Spirit. And we'll continue on there. This passage, at first face look, you'd think it's just a simple passage of what they call deductive, where you've got the main topic sentence, and then it explains it, but it's not. This is called a chiastic structure. And the point is not at the beginning. It's not inductive, it's not at the end, it's in the middle. And it's called chiastic structure. You see up there, and the main point is in the middle. And I just popped off there, so I'm going to pop back on. Whoosh, hasn't happened in a long time. Wow. Boom. Okay. And a lot of people presented this passage, and even myself have done it incorrectly, but here's what the chiasm looks like. It's from the letter chi in Greek, and it shows itself as the key there. You can see it, and it starts at the outside, the left and the right, the A, that's the outside verses. It's like starting your trip up the mountain and coming down the top of the mountain. That's verses 3 and 4, and they line up with, they pair up with in thought, verses 7 through 9a. And what's fascinating is in Jewish thinking, it's not so much the number of verses, but the thought. So you can have 14 verses to line up with two verses. That's just how it works, because you're lining up the thought in that. And then you have the B in the middle of the mountain trip up there. You take a little break. That's verses 5, 6a and verse 6c. They line up. We'll get more specific in this. And then the top of the mountain or the point, that's verse 6b. And let's look at that real carefully to help you here. 6b. So you have part A, that has come to use part A. All over the world, this gospel's bearing fruit. That's point B, and is growing. And then point C, just as it has among you, and since you've heard it, the gospel of grace, which is the truth. And that's part C, and that'll line up with this. That's really cool how that works as well. And in the second half, verses 9 through 9b through 14 are also chiastic in nature. There's a thought that went behind it. Some people think this way. Jim mentioned the hourglass idea. It's like at the main thought, and it comes down to the point, and it comes back out again. And the top of the mountain are the two parts of that. I didn't want to get too heady here, but just to explain to you that the main point is in the middle of this passage and not at the beginning or at the end. He's going to focus on inner growth on this, and that's verse bearing fruit. And I've already read that to you. This gospel is bearing fruit. And I was brought up, perhaps as you, I was brought up Catholic, but when I became a Christian, I was in very conservative circles or fundamentalist circles, and fruit was what? You had to bear fruit. What was fruit to them? Bring other people to Jesus, and that soul winners, you know, are great. You know, soul winning is great and all this stuff, but that's not what fruit is. But they taught us that. What is fruit biblically? Yeah, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. So bearing fruit, and that fruit then multiplies itself on a cellular level. And I can't, you know, if you guys come to the Sunday school, it's cool to see the, you know, how the genetics of everything, and he's going into all this detail about creation and evolution, showing how the evolution has no standing in science, and has no standing philosophically because it's inconsistent and self-contradictory, and it's just phenomenal. But cellular division is really cool because that's how the body of Christ grows, because it's a body. And so you get excited about Jesus, somebody catches that excitement, and you cellular divide. And that's one division that's healthy. Ha ha. And so you have this in the situation where it's bearing fruit. It is bringing people into the fold, but it is also the fruit of the Spirit. And we can't miss love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, meekness, kindness, goodness. What I keep missing is self-control. Self-control is at the end, but which is fascinating. It's at the end, don't you think? I think it's the most important maturity-wise. So that's what that is there. So we're bearing fruit. It's always thankful with nonstop praying. And again, there's an attitude of prayer. There's a posture of prayer. There's a life of prayer. But there's also vocalization of prayer. Verse 3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. And there's specific things they thank him for as we talk about this. But then verse 9a, he goes on to pair that off. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stop praying for you, asking God. This is coupled in this. There's this prayer that's resulting in the fueling of the life. In war, and we did this in Iraq, and they're practicing in other places as well. And where were they at? When they were in the emergency room, the cell phones didn't work because they were jamming them. And so it's just fascinating because all the equipment. But in Iraq, they shot an EMP. Not many people know this. I have friends that told me this, though. I think it's past the statute of limitations of secrets, so we're good. When they went into Iraq in the first Iraqi war against Saddam Hussein, they fired an EMP, which took out all the communication. We knew it was coming, so we protected all our stuff, and we were still able to communicate, plus these radios, et cetera. So they couldn't communicate, but that's what the enemy does. First thing he does, he takes out your communication, right? Why? Yeah, real simple. So you can't communicate, and you can't call for help. Another good one, yeah. Yeah, the first thing that goes in any relationship is communication. Somebody takes something wrong. And they don't ask the silly question, which I wish I would sometimes, what did you mean? Here's what I heard. What did you mean? Oh, I didn't mean that. I meant this. It's clarification, see? And same thing in war. And that's what we're talking about here. In war, between spiritual warfare, you can knock out your prayer life. You're either too busy to pray or too focused on other things, too anxious. And instead of praying, why pray when you can worry? Right? It's much more energy expending. Yeah. Yeah, you can get that. Get popped off again there, sorry. Nobody else should be on my Wi-Fi here. What's going on? Let's do something else. Now, I do take the Tevi approach, and people think I'm crazy, and that's okay, because I probably am. But I'm always talking to the Lord. I just keep that going. And there's times he and I don't talk, because it's just this quiet. It's like a husband and wife in the living room together. Nobody's watching anything. You know, just you're just there, presence. So that's okay, too. You don't have to be always talking. And another part of prayer is listening, right? And too many times, you know, I can see the Lord, will you just shut up so I can talk to you? You know, he doesn't say shut up, obviously. He says be quiet, slaps me in the face. But what happens here is real simple. Those who have faith in Christ is also who he's thankful for. Verse 4a and 7. You see that there. Verse 3, I'm going to read the whole context. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray for you because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. We've heard of your faith. Their faith was evident. It was expressive. It wasn't just something they kept on the shelf. And then verse hooked up with that 7. You have learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of the gospel of grace. There are people who are faithful. They're evidently faithful. It's obvious they're faithful. And there's a body of Christ that is faithful. I remember in campus ministry, people would talk about, actually went past that, but people say, my religion's private. Okay, I understand that, but do you believe in Jesus? Well, it's private, personal's private. I understand. So I came up with this illustration, are you married or not? Now, you don't talk about what's done in the bedroom, that's private, but I do know you're married, right? It's public, so why not tell me if you love Jesus or not? You don't tell me all the private stuff, just tell me you love Jesus. But some people have this privacy thing, and I think it's because they're ashamed or embarrassed. They don't want you to argue with them, and that's okay. But for us, we shouldn't be ashamed of Jesus. It's public. It's public. And that's what he's saying here. Your faith is public, and it's evident. It's evident in the bearing of the fruit because you're showing yourself faithful in that fruit. And the passage goes on, inner qualities of growth, that those who love the saints, 4b, again, and of the love, because we've heard of your faith and heard of the love you have for all the saints. And then verse 8. And those who are and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. These are all cool mystical terms, right? But have you ever noticed that love cannot be expressed without an object to love? It's easy to say you love. Oh, I love. And of course, you know, what does that mean? And you hear young people say, oh, I love you, I love you. What does that mean? Will you stick with them through thick and thin? Will you be patient with them and kind? Or you count how many wrongs they've done against you, right? Right? Because love keeps records of wrongs, right? No, it does not. Love is patient, love is kind, not haughty, selfish, or rude. Love does not demand its own way, right? So how was love expressed? That way. And I'm coming to an understanding, love is patient, love is kind. If you love people, there is no synonym for kindness. I've tried looking for them, but I'm coming up with one called gracious. Because the word grace, when I was saying the word grace a couple weeks ago, it means unmerited favor, it means strength, and it means grace, flowing, right? And people are gracious to you, that's kindness. So the scripture could read, love is patient, love is gracious. Because God is the element of grace, right? So they're praying for people whose love is evident, whose faith is evident, and whose hope is evident. Our hope is stored in heaven through the gospel of truth. Verses 5, 6, 8, and then 6c. Let's see that there. And I need to get new glasses because I'm having a hard time focusing here. Okay, the faith and love, verse 5, says that spring, from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel's bearing fruit, growing, and just as it has been doing among you since the day you first heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. And you can see how that's coupled right there. It's a cool passage there. It's the gospel of grace. And where's that hope stored? In heaven. Yeah, now there is some truth that I used to make fun of people who were so heavenly minded. There are no earthly good because they were no earthly good because they weren't righteously healthy minded. Heavenly minded are people who know how to live here. They treat people kindly. They treat them with respect and dignity. They treat them with faith and hope. And hope is on heaven, and hope that's unrealized is still yearning. But it's a no-so hope, right? It's not a wishy-full thinking, wishy-washy hope. And we have a world that offers wishy-washy hope. And we have a substantial hope. And I wish I could give you an illustration. I've used it hundreds of times. You know, the green light will come. You know, that's your hope. You're sitting there. There are two lights you don't want to go to, and I can tell you where they're at in the city. They're at least a minute and 50 seconds to 2 minutes and 10 seconds if you want to wait. And I happened to go the wrong way, and I got the one, okay? And so it's okay, Lord, I guess you want me to be late. And I was late, and then the car cut me off. There's no traffic on the road. This is at 7 o'clock Saturday morning. Nobody's on the road except the one car that's in front of me. And 45 in the business loop. And what's the speed limit there? It's 45, yeah. And what's this car doing? 30. And I couldn't get around him because another car pulled up next to me. So I'm, okay, Lord, I guess you want me to be really late. Now, it's my time. I'm the one that's going. I'm going to the Mesa Fit gym, so I'm going to work out. So it's like no rush, no big deal. And I get there 10 minutes late than I wanted to get there. As I'm walking up, I see this water's frozen on the just outside the door. Another guy had gotten out of, oh, I won't tell you the rest of it. Anyway. Another guy got out of his car, and we're walking up at the same time. We go, whoa, what just happened here? Yeah, and he says, looks like somebody threw a bucket of water out. And as we're walking up, right, this guy comes walking out with a cup. Oh, watch your step here. There's a bunch of water here. Well, he had the salt in the cup, and he's pouring it on the water. Apparently, he was the guy who threw the water out there, and it froze because it was 9 degrees out or whatever, 14, I forgot what it was. But why did the Lord want me to be late? Who knows? Figure it out. I had to slip and fall, and I would have. Yes, thank you. So I had to be late, so they had the salt on there. Now, the old me would have been grousing and complaining, and I'd get out of the car because the guy was right next to me in his truck. Well, you got nothing in your truck, dude. What do you want? I'm mad with you. You know, and walk in there, huff, 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 huff. And I could use that adrenaline for weightlifting, you know. But no, I said, okay, Lord, you must have a reason. And I'm trying to go through all this stuff. Okay, does want me to see somebody or somebody else hasn't been there, you know, all this stuff. And what was it? Something stupidly simple as water on the in front of the door. And it was in front of both doors. But it was a pattern where you can kind of skip across it. But I know me. You know, when I told you about when I was in Denver and I fell three times. So it's something there that's there. So it's the gospel of hope that we have in heaven through the gospel of truth. This is what we have. It's a no-so hope that the Lord is in control of everything in our lives, and that's your hope. And when we accept that and receive that, we can quit grousing and complaining and have a power-filled prayer life. Notice how it focuses also on outward fruit as well. It's a life worthy bearing fruit in every good work, verse 10a and b. Verse 10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the life of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of him. As you understand that he is in control of everything, that he loves you, he's not mad at you, and everything's moving in that direction, your life then is an example of that life. It's a life worthy of the calling because he's making you worthy. Your life is changing. If you used to, I don't want to say anything, it's all too, you know, when you know people too well, you can't do illustrations because you know who you're talking to and it just doesn't work. All right, let's say you've got a prolific liar, okay? There's nobody prolific liars in here today. So, oh, good. But let's say you just can't tell the truth. Truth is a foreign language to you, but you come to Jesus and suddenly you start to tell the truth. Now, you used to lie because you were afraid of getting punished, right? Because if you tell the truth, your parents told you, tell me the truth, and they told them the truth and they beat you up. Well, I'm never going to tell the truth. So your parents trained you to lie, right? And then your boss trained you to lie. Same. And so you've been trained to lie your whole life. But now you realize Jesus is the truth, and this is the gospel of truth. So you can tell the truth, and you still get punished. But at least it's punished less. You know, I can give you story upon story about that. I worked with a guy in Chicago in a factory, and I was different jobs, but this is during the oil embargo in 1973-74. So oil was very expensive back then, and I pierced an oil drum below the rim. So it's gushing out oil, and the guy was supposed to line me up with my forklift. He was toking by then, and he was kind of stoned, and so he got me the wrong coordinates, and I slammed it. So he runs away and goes, hides, and here's this oil gushing out. We're on the dock, and we got the cameras on. They're watching us. So what would you do if you pierced the oil can below the ring? Stick a rag. Okay, stick a rag in. What else could you do? Turn it over. Well, that's just the Lord said, turn it over. So I put it on its side, and it stopped leaking. But he didn't know what to do. He's freaking out, man. And so he hid in the... I remember his name now. He hid in the, we had pallet racks. So he found one of the pallet racks up high and hid in there and took out a marijuana stick. What do they call them? Joking. A joint. And so needless to say, I'm there. I'm running. I went and told the bosses right away. So look, here's what I did. I did this. But they somehow found him before they found me. I don't know how this all worked because he lied to them. I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. I was back here. It's on camera, dude. I mean, I got you. So you tell the truth. You tell lie. And when your life starts to change in Jesus, you start telling the truth. Or whatever problem you have, whatever issues you have that you are slave to, the Lord can free you from those and have a life that's worthy of bearing good fruit in every season. Okay? And it encourages you to grow outward fruit and discover your true status. You're filled with the knowledge and growing in the knowledge of the Lord. 9b. Let me read the whole verse there. For this reason, verse 9 says, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So you're going to grow in wisdom and understanding of him. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may be pleased in every way, place him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Once again, you're growing, knowing him better, being strengthened, I like this verse here, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might so that you may have great endurance and patience. And we'll get that in a second. And joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Verse 13, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So we are filled with knowing the Lord so we understand our true status. Because the enemy doesn't want you to know your true status in him. It's too simple. He wants you to stay whatever you were, but you're growing and changing. Whoops, I went ahead too far. Let's go back. Whoosh. I have points. You don't have points. Okay, you're empowered by Jesus. Okay, did you see that there? Verse 11, I read it pretty quickly. Let's read it again. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Can you get any more powerful than that? I don't think so. So that you may have great endurance. Great endurance. That word, there's hupomeno, to hang up under it, to withstand the pressure. And the next word, patience, is long-suffering. So it's going to be hard and challenging, but you'll have the grace through Lord Jesus Christ, the power, the strength, his glorious might. You're always being thankful. And then notice he's rescued you. He's rescued you from the darkness, brought you into his kingdom of his love, and he's redeemed you and forgiven you. And when you understand these truths, there's freedom and power in prayer. Because then you can pray knowing the prayer is going to be answered. And I'll say it now. Did you notice what's missing in this prayer? Any health issues? Are they in this prayer? Let's say you're expecting to have surgery, though. Many of us have had that experience. Would these prayers help with that? Why? How? Anybody? Strength and wisdom, patience, endurance. Yeah, the recovery time may not be as quick as you thought. Like when I had my hip surgery, I thought I'd be back in 2 weeks. I giggled. The doctor giggled. The nurses giggled. My wife laughed. No, you didn't. You giggled too. And my strength is yet to return. I'm confessing that. I'm still feel very weak sometimes compared to what I did before the surgery 3 years ago. But you know what? Long suffering. I have enough of his strength. So whatever problem you have physically, you can meet that with these spiritual issues, spiritual prayers here. Because there's always going to be physical challenges and difficulties. Always. When Jesus heals people, did they get sick again? Or were they never sick? No, we don't know. They probably got sick again. Now, there's some things that are healed that are permanent, but not always. And I won't go into detail on that either. So, just let you know that. There's some powerful theology there that need to be telling the truth here. Then, you know, again, I want to repeat what was said here. We've been redeemed and forgiven. There's some theologies out there that believe that you're not forgiven. We're forgiven. Amen. God's not mad at you. He's been redeemed. You've been redeemed and made righteous. The debt against us has been canceled. We'll learn that later in chapter 2. As you know, we want to build families here that pursue the Lord Jesus Christ. I called these Jesus points from years ago. It's funny when I go back to find old sermons and it has PowerPoints. And one young man said, "How about Jesus points?" I said, "Oh, it's cool. We'll take that." So I stole it from him. He gave me permission. But all points point to Jesus. That's what the idea of Jesus points are, because he's the power to live the point. Because if you try to live these points in your own strength, you're going to fail. It's just given. So you want to build families, and you don't trust Jesus to build your family. And I just shared with you some things earlier. It doesn't always happen, but not only pray with, but for your children. I know I've said this a lot the last couple of years, and even definitely the last couple of weeks, but it bears repeating. And Jim reminded me too during this, as we studied digging deeper, that even Job intervened for his children and offered up sacrifices for the sins they might have committed and didn't know it. You can do the same thing. You're considered the head of the home. You can intervene for them and intercede for them. And I've learned, watching my grandkids, that it's okay to say no. I would not let that happen, but I'm glad my daughter does. Because if you don't let them say no, what are you producing in them? What's the word?
Entitlement.
Okay, let me rephrase myself. Thank you. She's asking them to pray, okay? Gracie, would you like to pray now? No. Press no. And she lets them say no. I wouldn't do that, but she knows her kids, and it's working. But if I were not to let someone say no to praying, a child, what would I produce in them? Resentment. Yeah. And if I don't ask them and give them an opportunity to pray, I'm doing exactly the same thing on the other side. So I got to at least offer the opportunity to pray, and not just pray for them, but pray with them. And then model prayer for them and give them examples of praying. That's one way to get this power-filled prayer going. And again, it's the next one, obviously. This is this little video. I need the sound on my video. Thank you. Hopefully, Lord, this will work. My daughter sent me a video years ago when her hair was a different color, and it hit me so hard I kind of kept it on my desktop. But I thought, the Lord popped it in my head to share this with you. And the part is where I used to, when I drove them to school, I said, "Is there anything I pray for you?" And this is years later, mind you, after she's been married and kids and all. But that's what this is all about. Many of you know the song Butterfly Kisses? And this, I had a friend who tried to sing it at his daughter's wedding. I just laughed. Like, I couldn't even get close to it. And he's shaking, and he couldn't get through it either. But this is kind of the result of that, where you at least did something right. You never know sometimes. But this is just an example for you guys to, you know, pray for your kids, and the fruit will come when it comes, in lives that are changed in such a way that you get blessed on the other end of it. We also want to develop people who are pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ with a passion. So when you are at loss for words to pray, pray the word. There's several prayers that you can pray, and pray this passage and put people's names in it. You could put their name as you pray this through. You can, I've suggested here Ephesians 9 as well, chapter 3, verse 9. You can pray the book of Psalms and add people's names in them. That works too. And I have a little book display back there, and we can move that during the potluck. But if you would like one of my books there, they're $9 today on sale. I hate saying that. I never done stuff like this. but just to help you, it's a prayer guide. Just to help you get started praying. As when we did the solemn assemblies for the entire city, and I work with pastors, I said, "You guys don't need these books because you're prayer warriors." But these are for the people I've met over the decades as a pastor that just don't know how to pray and where to start. So I would just tell them what I told you, pray the Psalms. And then my book is full of scriptures too. So just here's an example, you know, just pray. But do not pray. That makes sense? Now, you may not be a prayer warrior. They're gifted to do that. They're gifted to pray all the time. They're gifted to pray. Isaiah was told, don't give sleep to your eyes until a priest comes to Jerusalem. Isaiah, I've got chapters now. It's 26 or 62, but there's people that are gifted to do that. You may not be gifted, but you are definitely to pray, because prayer to the Christian life is like breathing to the physical life. It's that critical of volitional. You have to pray. And I'm convinced, and I'll say that we said this at Tuesday meeting, Anybody knows Charles Spurgeon? He was a famous pastor in the last two centuries ago, no, 1800s. And he was just such a powerful preacher. He's known the Prince of Preachers. And he had thousands of people in his tabernacle up above in his church. They call it tabernacle. I forgot what it's called now. Just blew my mind. But at any rate, underneath were 350 people praying every Sunday. That's where the power came from for his preaching. That's where the power came from for his Dale Moody, the same thing. He had a bunch of prayer warriors praying for his ministry. And you guys, I don't want to say covet your prayers because I know people don't do well with that. But I need prayer for this, for various reasons, but it's just, yeah. And that's what does it. I'm going to say something really harder, so forgive me. This is the second round, okay? Second round. I took the other ones and I got 12 in my office that were never answered. Never answered, okay? And I'm going, Lord, are we not praying? Are we on our knees enough for this person here? I won't name their name because they might be here. But, you know, are we not praying? Do you believe in prayer? I do. I pray for these people. Do you pray for these people? Or am I alone? Or is it just the people put these up here alone? This prophet talking, sorry. I'm not going to apologize, actually. I'm tired of that. So, this is the second round. I was tempted to take these down this week because it's a new year, right? But I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And the Lord kicked my butt and said, don't do it anyway. But he and I had a big argument. I said, where are you at? And he said, I'm doing other things. I said, and that's when I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, he's doing far more than we can think or imagine because we get this big a picture. Oh, I know what he's doing. And we have no idea what he's doing because it's way bigger. Because you got one piece of the puzzle of 5,000 pieces. And I just put a puzzle at 750. So, and you can come up here. I know he's moving toward the Lord. He's one of my personal ones here. And my wife put his name here, I think, too. But there's people up here. There's movement. Now, what's the purpose of this cross? First purpose is to get them to Jesus. Bottom line, they've got to come to Jesus, however you want to call it. They want to come to Jesus moment, or they need to follow Jesus or give their life to him, or however you want, you know, his heart. I mean, whatever pictures you want to use, that's what we do. The second one is get them into a body-believing church, a Bible body-believing believers church. There we go. Okay, I said it wrong both three times. But that's the goal. Is it this church necessarily? No. Any church. I don't care where they go. If they go somewhere, it's a Bible-believing church. That's what we're praying for. And I got some people up here in Arizona. It'd be nice if they came here. That means they have to move. But but I wanted to go to church there. Okay? That's what it is here. So we've got to be filled with the power. The power-filled prayer has answers. Now, the Lord is answering prayers. And if I told you, you'd get shocked how many prayers he's being answered in ways I didn't expect. But he's answering prayer. I know that, okay? But I also know he's telling me, if I'm using coaching talk, I apologize, like kicking butt and stuff like that, but he's urging me very strongly, is that a safe way to say that? That we got to get praying as a body of believers. I already told the leadership team last meeting about this. Now you're getting it. I know this from the Lord. You want to hear, thus saith the Lord, here it comes. Thus saith the Lord, we need to be praying more, okay? Bottom line. Now, if I'm a false prophet, you can stone me later and I can get to heaven faster. But the fact is, we've got to be praying. And this is where I'm starting a series about praying. We had some answers to prayer in your end, but it's not done yet. But we're moving. There's movement. You see what I'm saying? So I know there's answers to prayer. But I'm reading this one book called, I forgot it's called, The Manor. But he says, pray for your Lazarus. And I go, what? Pray for your Lazarus? Yeah, pray for that person that's so converted that everybody else goes, no one else could have done that but God. And that's what I'm praying for. I don't know who it is yet. I got 5 or 10 of them, frankly. But who is that? Who's that person, that man, that woman, that kid, that their life is so turned around that they're just jazzed for Jesus and that's all they want to do? And everybody else goes, whoa, what happened to you? In the old days, you say, what do you want? I'm high on Jesus. But you know, I guess you can say it now because we got marijuana is legal now. But anyway, but you get where I'm at in my passion. And I need your prayers because the stuff I'm going through, I can't share. It's just a lot of stuff that we all need each other, praying for each other and encouraging each other. And that's what power-filled praying is. It's praying the word. You may not be a prayer warrior, and that's okay, but you need to be praying, and I need to be praying. And corporate prayers, my opinion, I know it's theological. The verse, please, Jesus. Okay. The verse that says, where two or three are gathered in my name, so too am I there, has nothing to do with prayer. It's been raped. It's been violated. It's out of context. It has nothing to do with church. When I was anti-church, that's the verse I used to justify my anti-church position. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with church, where two or three witnesses are together, two or three witnesses together to church discipline somebody, there too am I, is the context. Has nothing to do with church prayer meetings or anything else. So I'm not going to throw that verse at you and say, well, we're two or three together, you got to be praying and there's power. No, that's not the verse. The verse I'm going to use is where the body of Christ is gathered together in Acts chapters 4, 5, 6, and 7, and 8, and 13, where everybody's gathered together to pray. There's corporate prayer and there's power in the corporate prayer. Now, can Elijah stop it to rain? Oh, he can. And I praise Jesus. I asked for the inversion to go, and he did the next day. Okay, that can happen. One person can have that kind of stuff. But I'm convinced we're not called to do it individually. We're called to do it corporately. I'm convinced of that. And I don't understand. I'm starting crying, so I'm going to stop there. So, you got Jesus' word. He is the word. You'll never run out of prayer gas when you pray his word because he's filling your prayers. So here's a simple prayer. Heavenly Father, make my life a prayer to you. I affirm that the Lord Jesus Christ empowers me by his spirit to pray whether or not you have gifted me to be a prayer warrior. May I not become weary in this spiritual practice. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. If you don't want to pray that prayer, that's cool. You're free to not pray it or pray it. And I was talking faster, I apologize. I just caught myself. Together. Heavenly Father, make my life a prayer to you. I affirm that the Lord Jesus Christ empowers me by his Spirit to pray whether or not you have gifted me to be a prayer warrior. May I not become weary in the spiritual practice in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, you've heard the prayers of your people. Lord, I pray that you take the words that were my words and turn them to dust, but you take your words and impact their lives, that you transform and change, that they find fertile soil that will bear much fruit, fruit that will indeed endure, that you take your words and penetrate the hearts that have been prompted to be prayer warriors and encourage them that that's their gift, and those who have not been praying to realize that they need to start breathing again. And so, Father, perform CPR on their lives as well, in Jesus' name, amen.